The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas HaMatos Masei. In the beginning of Parashas Matos, Vaidaber Moshe al Rosh HaMatos Livnei Yisrael Lemor, Zeh Hadavar Asher Tzivo Hashem. Moshe spoke to the heads of the tribes, saying that this is what Hashem has commanded. Ish ki yido neder l'Hashem, o yishov ha-shvuel, l'esu Yisrael nafshoi. If a person undertakes a vow or an oath to forbid upon himself something which is generally permissible, lo yachil devore, he should not annul his words, kechol ha-yetzim mipiv yaseh. And all that goes out of his mouth he shall fulfill. The word lo yachel is a sort of a strange word. The Rashi tells us it comes from the word yichalel, chulin. He shall not lo yaseh dvor of chulin. He shall not make his words into chulin. Chulin means profane. Actually, chulin doesn't actually mean profane, but it's the contrary to kodosh, chol and kodosh, to sanctity. So here we see that a person's words are kodosh, are sanctified. And when he says something, he makes an undertaking, then he has to fulfill that undertaking. And if he doesn't, then he is profaning his words. He is removing the kedusha, the sanctity, from those words. Now, it's common in the world. The phraseologies, talk is cheap. We always hear it. It's only talk. It's only verbal. It's only an oral commitment. It's only an oral agreement. And talk is cheap. The fact is, today, one of the most powerful impacts on society and one of the most powerful industries in society world over is your mass media. And there is an uncountable volume of words that goes through the mass media on a daily basis. Take in TV, radio, movies, videos, newspapers, magazines, books. It's not an enormous, it's uncountable of what is going back and forth through talk every day. And most of this talk is not taken that seriously. Things can be said today and retracted tomorrow. Someone once said, you want to know how valuable a newspaper is? If someone writes a classic, what is a classic? How do you know if a work is mediocre or is good or is a classic in any field? Test of time. Mediocre works fade almost immediately. Good works last. Classics endure time. For centuries. So if you have something of value, like we say diamonds are forever, you keep it. Someone writes a book, you keep it for a long time. You take the Sifrei HaKodesh Lahabdil, our books of Torah. They will outlast the world. Take a newspaper. Look how much effort goes into writing a newspaper. What happens to yesterday's newspaper? Yesterday's newspaper, today is in the rubbish. It shows you the lasting value that it has. From the Torah, from our sacred Torah, we see just the opposite. Not only that it's only speech, and not only does this talk occupy a place of great importance, but just to the contrary, there are uncountable mitzvahs rabbis, great mitzvahs, which stand in the forefront of the world that one can fulfill through his speech when it's used properly. We'll mention a few. You take the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You're learning in the morning Hilchos Talmud Torah. La'olam Talmud Kodem. Talmud Torah Shokol Keneged Kol HaMitzvahs. The study and the teaching of Torah, the greatest mitzvah that we have, the Dibar Tobom, you shall speak in the words of Torah. How do you teach Torah? How do you learn Torah? By speech. Mishinamtam Levanecho, you shall teach your children. This is through talking to them. The fact is, the entire Torah is Vaydaber Meishel El Bnei Yisrael, Vaydaber Meishel Bnei Yisrael, Vayimei Meishel. Moshe spoke. This is the entire Torah Shebiksav. Another such mitzvah, tefillah. Omed Berumi Shalaylam, tefillah is from the greatest mitzvahs that we have. Prayer. How do you pray to the Almighty? With your tongue, with your mouth. Gemilas Chesed. From the greatest mitzvahs that we have. To do Chesed, to do kindliness to another person. A great deal of this mitzvah is done through speech. The Sameach Haveroi. If you bring happiness to another person with your talk. The Chaskei. If you strengthen and encourage him through the difficulties of life. Bikur Cholim. You come and you... There's other ways you fulfill Bikur Cholim. The visiting of the sick and the caring of the sick. But a very, very strong method is how you speak to him. Simchas Chosin V'Kala. The Gemara tells us that the main simcha, to be Mesameach Chosin V'Kala, is not the eating at the wedding, and is not the dancing at the wedding, but it's the speaking. This is what the Gemara tells us. That you... Chosin de melamelech, kala de melamalko. Chosin is like a king, a kala is like a queen. What do you do for a king and a queen? Mekalsom, you praise them. This is the main simcha. This is what the Gemara tells us. Rashi brings in Ksubas, Ketza Maraktim Lechne HaKala, the Gemara says, how do you dance before a kala? So Rashi says, Ma Imrim Bitnehem. What do you say before them? The Gemara in Brachos tells us the reward of Simchas Chosin V'Kala is how you praise them with your mouth. Stoker is with your money. Charity. But the Gemara says if you give a pruta, you give some money to a poor man, umefaisoi, and with your mouth, with your speech, you make him feel good. You receive 14 brachas from the Almighty. This is the Gemara we learned last year in Baba Basra. Yiras Shamayim. You can fulfill the fear of God through your speech. How? Posuk in Malachi Gimel. Posuk Tes Zayin. Oz Nidru Yirei Hashem. Ishal Rehu. Those who fear Hashem will speak together. Vayakshev Hashem Vayishma, and Hashem will listen. Vayikosev Sefer Zikoren Lefonot, and he will write down what they say. Vayirei Hashem Lechesh Vayishmai, to those who fear him and to those who give respect to his name. So it states, Oz Nidru Yirei Hashem Ishal Rehu. Two people that fear the Almighty come together and they talk and they encourage and discuss the fear of Hashem. And on the other side of the coin also, just as we can fulfill some of the greatest mitzvahs through our talk, We can also, unfortunately or tragically, fulfill some of the greatest avedas, some of the greatest evil with our talk. For example, Lashon Hara, Rechilus and Machlekes. All familiar with Lashon Hara, slander. Or Rechilus. Rechilus is where Lashon Hara is where you damage a person's reputation. Rechilus is where you bring information to a person which was said by another person that you know will create resentment, a faribel. You make machlekes. The fact that the Dor HaMidbor, the generation of the desert, died and never reached Eretz Yisrael, wandered for 40 years, was because of Lashon Hara. They slandered. The flat fact that the earth opened up and swallowed Korach ve'Adosai was because they came and they challenged the authority of Moshe and they made machlekes. This is what the dibur, the speech. When it comes to these things, we do not say it's only speech. The Gemara says Lashon Hara is magdil aveinis keneged shvichas domim aveidizora vegilarayas. Lashon Hara is equal to the three most severest avedas in the Torah, that of the shedding of blood, of idolatry, and of adultery and incest. Then there is onaz dvorim, that if you pain a person with your words, certainly if you insult him or you shame him, there's what we have in our parsha, the desecration of one's word, undertakings where he lies. And certainly if someone gives false testimony, or for example when a person speaks when he shouldn't be speaking, if he speaks in a shul be'es hatfila, during the davening, or during the kriyas haTorah, reading of the Torah, or during the drosha, when the Rav is saying a drosha or a shir, these are all very, very great avedas. Now, so we see, just contrary to what the world says, it's only talk. And why is it? The answer to that is the power of speech, which was given to man, is recognized by the Torah as the perfection of the creation of man in this world. In Parshas Bereishis, Perek Beis, Posuk Zayin, the posuk we brought very often, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'odom ofer min ha'adamah. Hashem created man from the earth. Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. And then he blew into his nostrils a living soul from above. So he created him from two worlds, from the earthly world and from the heavenly world. Vayhi odom lenefesh chaya, and man became a nefesh chaya. What did man become when he took these two worlds together? Heavenly world, nishmas chayim, and Ofra Mina Adoma in the earthly world. And he molded man from both of these worlds. What did man become? It states a Nefesh Chaya. What is a Nefesh Chaya? So Unkele says, Leruach Memalalo. He became a speaker. Rashi explains that man became something unique, unlike all other creatures. Zu shalodim chayo shebekulam shenitosiv bo by day of edibur. The merging of these two worlds gave man deo, intelligence, and speech. Now, why isn't it sufficient to say merely that he was given intelligence? The crown of man is his intelligence. That's his greatest ability. The answer to that is, thoughts are abstract. They're not tangible. They're not physical. And therefore, even though the ability to think is the greatest ability of man, that's not in the earthly world yet. That's still in the heavenly world. It doesn't come into the physical world. How do his thoughts come into the physical world? Through his speech. And man is of both worlds. And therefore, the perfection of man, the nefesh chaya that was forged from the coming together of these two worlds, was his ability to think and to verbalize his thoughts into speech. And then it comes into this world. Otherwise, a thought is still in another world. And this is why that when man speaks, he utilizes every part of himself to speak. A person, when he speaks, he must use his seichel, his intelligence. He must use his emotions. He must use his physical body. He doesn't have a tongue or a mouth, he can't speak. A great doctor who was the head of the speech department of a big hospital in America told me once, he said, we used to think that problems in speech were related to intelligence. Then we thought to the physical aspect of man. Then we thought the emotional aspect of man. He says the truth is they're related to all three. It's a physical, emotional, and mental function. In other words, it is the nefesh chaya, the perfect combination. And there man comes into his perfection. And that's why the sages always refer to man, when they wanted to show his uniqueness, not as a machashev, the one who thinks, but as hamedaber, the one who speaks. And the Maral in Prag, in Sefer Nesivos Olam, Nesivat Snius, Perek Gimel, Perek Dalet, goes one step further. He says this is the perfection, the ultimate perfection of the entire world. Because man was the ultimate perfection of the world. It was for him that everything was created. And he was the objective. And if the ultimate perfection of man is this function, then it brings the world to its perfection. Oh, now we can see why man can achieve so much with his speech, and at the same time, if it's not used properly, why he can destroy so much. Like we said with Lashon Hara, it's because of that that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed the first time, the second time, on Tisha B'Av. And because we have been in, this is the reason why we've been in Golus, in the exile, for so many thousands of years. And this is why words are called Niv Sfosayim. Niv Sfosayim, Niv is from the word Tenuva. Tenuva means a fruit. They are the fruits of the lips of man, they are the fruits of man. This is his greatest fruit. And this is the outgrowth of man, just like you have a fruit of a tree. What is the fruit? The fruit is the potential of the tree which grows out from the tree into the world. The words are the potential of man which grows out from the man into the world. Therefore, one must be very careful with his words, just opposite to what the world says, talk is cheap. If they're good fruits, it shows what the man is. If they're rotten fruits, it also shows what the man is. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech said, King Solomon said in his wisdom, in Mishlei, Perek Yud Ches, Posuk Chof Aleph, Moves Bechayim, Biyahaloshim, Ve'ohaveho Yechal Pirjo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, has given death and life into the tongue. And those who love the power of speech will taste from its fruits, which means those who love the good power of speech will derive life from the tongue. And those who love the evil power of speech, heaven forbid, will derive death from the tongue. And this we see all of the time through history. And therefore our sages in uncountable places in the Talmud have always cautioned us to be careful with our speech. Use it. Must use it. If you don't use it, it's the most valuable possession that was given to man. But use it wisely. Now we are learning, the Yeshiva Gdola is learning Masechta Psochim. And in Masechta Psochim, right in the beginning, our sages come and talk about speech. And we're not talking about saying things that damage other people, saying things about making machlekes, about loshon hara, but another perspective. And let me learn through this sugya with you, part of it. It's a Gemara and Daf in Psochim Daf Gimel. The Mishnah, the first Mishnah begins, or La Arba Osir, Beit Kines HaChometz L'Oraneh. The word or, literally it means light. But the Gemara concludes that it's a terminology that can be used either for day or for night. It can be used for night also. So therefore, in the Mishnah that states or La Arba Osir, which means the night of the 14th of Nisan, the night of the 14th of Nisan, we have to be Vedikas HaChometz, we make Bedikas Chometz. The Gemara asks, why did the Tano choose to write the Mishnah with the word Or La'arbosra, the night of the 14th of Nisan, Or? Why didn't he call it Lailo? The simple word is night. So the Gemara answers, Lishn Me'al Yehudinokat. He wanted to use, and especially to start the Masechta, with a nice word. And or is a nicer word than lilo. Because lilo means night and darkness. And or, even though it's referring to night, but the word's meaning itself is that of light. And Lishna Ma'alyo, he wanted, he searched for a good word to start the Masechta with. Why should one do that? Okay, Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Because Rabbi Shua ben Levi taught, Le'elam al yetzi odem dover meguna bipiv. A person should never use a word which is not nice, which is meguna. Meguna here means a word which is somewhat disgusting. And then then he gives an example. When Hashem told Noach to load his ship for the flood with animals, and he told them how many to take, and he said you have to take some animals which are tohor, pure, kosher ones, and some which are tome, impure. So the Torah didn't say mina behema tohora u mina behema tameya. but rather min habehema tohora umin habehema asher einena tohora. Rather than to say an animal which is tomei, tomei means impure, it said an animal which is not tohor. And the Torah explains, the Gemara explains that in order to do this, the Torah had to write an 8 extra words. Then the Gemara goes further, and it shows that with the same word, in order not to refer to this word, it had to write 8 extra letters, 9 extra letters, 10 extra letters. Then the Gemara goes further, 16 extra letters. The Gemara carries on. Tanya debate Bishmul. Leilam Yisap Orem Eloshin Nekia. A person should always find Eloshin Nekia, a nice, clean, eloquent word when he talks. Because the Torah wants to describe a man riding a horse or a donkey, an animal, or a camel, and a woman riding. When it describes the man riding, it says he's rechiva, he's riding. When it describes the woman, it says he yosheves, she's sitting on the animal. Because it's a nicer description when we speak of a woman to say she's sitting rather than she's riding. Then the Gemara comes along and says, "Vatifka loshen arumim," brings from the Torah, it brings from another place that you should choose your words carefully, and it brings from another place, "Das sfosai borul milelu," that the words, your speech, should be words which are clear and good words. And why do we need 3 sources? Because I would think that the Torah is very careful in choosing words. But when we learn, we don't have to be so careful. Now, the Gemara says, even when we learn, we have to be careful. Then I would say, all right. In a Beis HaMidrash, in a yeshiva, we have to be careful. But in the marketplace, in the stock market, when you're doing business, you don't have to be so careful to choose a nice word. Therefore, we have 3 sources. The Gemara goes further, and it states, "Anu trei talmidi." There were 2 disciples. They were sitting before Rav, and they heard a shiur. Rav had given a shiur, and it was a long shiur, and it was a difficult shiur. And afterwards they were very, very tired and very hungry. And one said to the other one, "I'm as tired and hungry as a worn out goat." And the other one said, "I'm as tired and hungry as a worn out pig." And when Rav heard this, the one who said pig, he wouldn't talk to anymore. And Bar brings another case. It says there were 2 disciples that were learning by Hillel. One was Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai and another one. And they asked the question. And one, when he asked the question, he didn't use the word tomei, impure, but he said, "Eino tohor," it's not pure. And the other one didn't. And Hillel said, "Muftachani bezeh," I am confident that the one that was careful with his speech, one day he will be a great Bal HaRabbi Israel. One day he will be a great judge in Israel. And Lohoyu Yomi Mu'ati Machahira Rabbi Israel. And so it was. Bar brings another case. There were 2 Kahanim. And the Kahanim, they had the great merit to eat kotshim, to eat from the sacrifices. And there was the Lechem Aponim, Shabbos, loaves of bread were placed on the table inside the sanctuary. and the loaves of bread, and they stayed the whole week. And the loaves of bread from last week were eaten. And many times there were many kahanim, and therefore each one would only get a small amount. So there were these kahanim. There were three kahanim, and they were complaining. One said, "Higani kipul," that this week I got such a small amount, it was the size of a bean. And the other said, "I got such a small amount, it was the size of an olive." And the third one said, "I got such a small amount that it was the size of a tail of a haltor, of a lizard." When they heard that one used the expression, a lizard, they weren't happy. And they checked up on this Kohen, Umotze Beishemetz Psul, and they found that in his ancestry, he was not a kosher Kohen. His father had married someone he was not supposed to, and he was not a kosher Kohen. So this is the Gemara that we've been learning. Now let's examine this Gemara. We're not speaking here, like I mentioned, about words that hurt another person, like Lashon Hara, or insults, or do damage. The fact is, we're not even speaking about words which we would categorize as obscenities, or profane language, or disgusting language. Because all of the words that are brought in that sugya are words that the Torah itself uses. Tomei, impure. It's brought hundreds of times in the Torah. Haltor, lizard. It's mentioned in the Torah. It's written in the Torah. A chazir, a pig. It's written in the Torah. Rocheves, that she's riding. There are times it's written in the Torah. So again, not only we're not speaking about Lashon Hara or Achilas or Machlekes, words that can create who knows what, but we're not even speaking about a profane language here, what we would call nivul peh, or obscenities. We're speaking about good, kosher words, which the Torah itself uses. And there are three descriptions in the Gemara that are mentioned. One is al yetzi odom dover meguna mefif. He shall not use a word which is dover meguna. Meguna means a word which is not so nice. That was Shuv and Levi. Then Omer of Shmuel leilam, a person should be masape beloshin nekiya. Nekiya means a word which is pure. Rashi says tzach, clean and nice. And then a third description the Gemara uses, Loshen Kovet. Kovet means a dignified word, a beautiful word, an honorable word. Now, what we're speaking here, what the Torah is telling us here, what the Gemara is telling us here, and it's learning from the Torah, is these words are all good words. Nothing wrong with these words. We see them consistently in the Torah. But there are better words to describe the same thing. And if the situation requires that we use these words, then the Gemara says you must use these words. Because there's nothing wrong with these words. They're all kosher words. All acceptable. And that's why the Torah many times uses them. For example, the Gemara says that when you're teaching, when you're teaching, you should teach in a concise manner. If, in order to avoid one of these words, you're going to have to go all the way around, out of your way, and make it a long business, then the Torah says, no, you must use the word, because these are good kosher words. But where you can, use a better word, a more honorable word, a more dignified word, a loshen kovod, more beautiful word, then la'olam, a person should choose that word. It's nicer to say on a woman that she's sitting on the horse than she's riding the horse. It's nicer to say on an animal that is an animal that is not pure than to say he's a tomei dika animal. He's an animal that is tomei. This is what the Gemara is telling us. And incidentally, the main objection in many of these cases, it's not the abstract word, but in the association that is being used. The word tomei by itself, it might be all right. The objection is that the person is referring to an animal and is calling him tomei. Or, like it brings to a man and is calling him tomei. The Gemara in Baba Masra, in Perek Yesh Nochlin, Daf Kuf Chon Gimel, the Gemara brings the Pasuk, the Einei Leah Arachos, the eyes of Leah were swollen. When Yaakov came to the house of Lavan and he saw Rachel and Leah, it describes Rachel as being very beautiful. Leah had swollen eyes. So the Gemara asks her, what does it mean, Rachos? Ilei Marachos Mamish. If it means that her eyes were actually swollen. Efshe beginus behema tamea le dibarakosuv. Diksivu mina behema asher einena tohora. Beginus sadikim dibarakosuv. If the Torah is careful not even to call an animal a tomedic animal, but rather it called it einena tohora, an animal which is not tohor. The Torah didn't want to insult an animal. So certainly it's not going to speak in such a way about a person. And the Rishbam brings our sugya there. So you see, then what we were concerned about was the association. The same where we had these two Talmidim, these two disciples. They heard this long shir and they were all fatigued. And one said, I'm so hungry and fatigued like a worn out goat. And the other one said, I'm so hungry and fatigued like a worn out pig. So Rabbi Hananel says, what was the objection? Why won't Rav speak to this person anymore? Shedibar alat meganai, because he referred to himself in a disrespectful manner. In other words, to take a word and associate it with a human being, and certainly with an animal, and certainly with a human being, and even with yourself, there we must find better words. Or, when it came to eating the lechem aponim, came to eat the kotchim, that what was sacred. And one said, I got such a little piece, it was the size of an olive. There's nothing wrong with that. Or the size of a bean. But the other one said it was the size of a tail of a halto of a lizard. And that's a lizard which is a tomei lizard. So he referred that word to the kotchim, to that which is brought in the Beis HaMikdash. This was the objection there. Here we see how far one has to remove himself from uttering something which is not the best possible. Because as we mentioned, these words in their own right, there's nothing wrong with them. But we must be careful with them. And why is it? The answer is, the Maral explains, because Tov Vera, good and evil, are exactly opposite of each other. Tohor V'tomei, pure and impure, are exactly opposite of each other. And if a person wants to be good, then he has to distance himself from evil to the ultimate. If a person wants to be pure, he has to distance himself from the impure to the ultimate. And here we're speaking about the ultimate perfection of man, his speech. These are the fruits of man. And if he wants where he should be good and pure, then these are the type of words that he must choose and try to distance himself as much as possible from other words. We see a similarity to this in the Torah, where it states, "You shall not serve idolatry." Then the Torah tells us, "B'shem Elohim Acherim LeYishom Al Picha." Not only you shouldn't serve idolatry, but even the name, the names of idolatries of other gods, gods of others, should not even be heard on your mouth, on your lips. Because that already is an association. That's the dishabrus. And if a person wants to become great, he has to distance himself as much as possible from everything that is not so. We see also interesting that Hillel said on one Talmud that he was so careful to choose a good word, an aloshin kovet, an honorable word, a dignified word. He said, "He, Muftachani, I am certain that he will be a great judge in Israel one day." Why? Because we said it's the fruits of man. It's the fruits of the seichel. A man thinks. What does he verbalize? He verbalizes what he's thinking. The verbalization, the talking process, is the outgrowth of his thoughts, like the fruit of the tree. And when he saw how pure his words were, from there he could see how pure his mind was. And when it comes to meira hara, halacha, to render the decision, you must have a pure, perfect mind, because you have to render exactly what's right and what's wrong. It has to be perfect, yosher, upright. And Hillel saw that when he verbalized, when he spoke, he could see what kind of pure mind that person had. Therefore he said, "Muftachani, Muftachani Bozea, I am certain this man will be a great judge in Israel one day." And it turned out to be Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai. According to one opinion, according to the other, was Rabbi Yechanan. In the other case, where the Kohen said, "I got such little bread today, from the bread that was brought in the sanctuary, that it was the size of a tail of a halto of a lizard." This was a lizard, one of the lizards that we don't eat. That amatama. And they made an investigation on him, and they found out shemetz psul, that there was something wrong in his genealogy. Why? But I'll say, because Kohanim were given a Kedush Yisera. They were given an extra dimension of sanctity. This is why they have extra mitzvahs. Mitzvahs Yiseras Nisrabelehem. And this Kedusha, this extra dimension of sanctity, they were born with. A Kohen doesn't have to do anything to become a Kohen. He only has to be born. So they were born with. Milado. When they saw that this one could associate a tail of a lizard with the lechem upon him, with the bread of the table of the sanctuary, they saw something's wrong there. Something wrong in his kedusha, in his sanctity. A Kohen that would have a pure kedusha, a pure sanctity, couldn't associate those two words. Therefore they investigated, and they found out there was something wrong. What's about whatever? That there was something wrong in his ancestry, where he thought he was not born a Kohen, he was not a proper Kohen. And the Gemara found it necessary to bring three sources as to why we should always choose a good word and a beautiful word. The Gemara asks, what do we need three sources for? So it says, one you need for the written, that This is how the written law is written, and one is for the Talmud, the oral law, and one is even in the marketplace. Why do we need three sources? The Maral explains. He says the written law for sure, because that was written only in Lashon HaKodesh. The Torah is always written in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew. And we must understand what Lashon HaKodesh is. Because unfortunately today not everyone understands what it is. Lashon HaKodesh, the Hebrew language, is a language which is Kodesh, exactly what it is called, Lashon HaKodesh. The actual language is Kodesh. And it's the language that the Malachi HaShoresh used, the Gemara tells us. The language that the angels use. And it's the language which HaKodesh Baruch Hu used when he created the world. When he said, let there be the world, Vayehi Or, let there be light. He spoke in this language. And he gave the Torah in this language to Moshe. This is what Lashon HaKodesh is. It's not just a way of communication. It's not just a way of conversation. Other languages can be, but not Lashon HaKodesh. Other languages the Torah was not given in. The Malachim, the angels, do not use, and the world was not created with. So therefore the Maral says that's simple. That when you use Lashon HaKodesh, it's the language that Hashem used when he created the world and gave the Torah, you have to, every word must be perfect. See, from here we learn how we must use Lashon HaKodesh. But in the Talmud, the Torah Shebaal Peh, that's not the language of the Almighty. That is the language of people. It represents the wisdom of men, and the wisdom of Torah of men. But it's the language of people. It's the discussions of the sages. It's the debates of the sages. And throughout history, we never found where the Talmud had to be written in Hebrew. Talmud was not written in Hebrew. It was written in Targum, in Aramaic. And the discussions, when they were in Babel, in other places, the discussions were in Targum. So therefore I would say, it's not so important that each word must be the best possible word. That's why the Gemara brings a second source. That even when it comes to learning Torah, you also must choose, where possible, the best word. All right, because we're learning Torah. But if we're doing business, why is it so necessary? So therefore I would think it's not necessary. That's why the Gemara brings a third source, that even when you're in the marketplace and you're speaking not Dvorim Shel Kedusha but Dvorim Shel Chol, you're speaking secular matters, but since it's the fruits of man, the power of speech, all the time, where possible, you must choose a Loshen Noki Betzach, a Loshen Kovet, a beautiful, dignified, good word. Now, everything that the Gemara has spoken about till now are all words, like we mentioned, that are acceptable and kosher words. Except there can be better, or the association is not good. But what about words which are not good words? Again, not words that are harming anyone, like Loshen Hara or Einoa, but words that are not good words. Words which are profane words or disgusting words. For example, foul language, obscenities, promiscuous words, rude words, repulsive words, repugnant words, disgusting words, filthy words, or even worse, from one aspect. Curses. And it's common curse words. Amaitzi Shem Shemaim Levatola. They even use the Almighty's name in the curses. Now this is something which our generation has hit a new low in, where it's become common language. You can hardly say it's the Bishua ben Levi's din, where here he's speaking about good kosher words that even the Torah uses. Or la'elam, a person should be mesape b'loshin nekiyo, tzach v'noki or loshin kovod. That our sugi is not speaking about, but there's another sugi that speaks about it, and that's the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos in Perek Bama Malikin. And tragically, we come to accept it as par for the course. Tragically, it is a terrible, terrible avera in the eyes of the Torah. The Gemara and Daf Lamed Gimel Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, "Be oven nivleis peh." Because of the avera of nivleis peh, of obscene language. Tzores rabeis ugzeres kosers. Great sorrows, great troubles, and harsh decrees, mischatzos, renew themselves consistently. Ubachure seini Yisrael meisim. The Gemara didn't even want to say it on Yisrael. It says, the youth of Yisrael are taken away, heaven forbid. Yisomim v'almones tzoakin vein anamim. Orphans and widows cry to Hashem and they're not answered. The Gemara brings a pasuk from Yeshayahu Tes. Pasuk Yud Aleph. The pasuk states like this. 1 minute. Now pasuk Tes Zayin. Al Kain al Bachurav lo yismach Hashem. Therefore, on your youth, I shall not take joy. And I will not show mercy and compassion to their orphans or to their widows. Because they are full of hanifa, false flattery, umeiro and evil, v'chol peh deva navola, and all of their mouths speak profane obscenities. Behold, zeis leishov apay. My anger will not be quieted. Behold, jode netuyo, and my hand will be stretched out to strike them again. The Gemara says on this, it brings the posuk. And it says, therefore, be'oven nivleis peh, because of obscene language, tzores rabeis, gzeres koshis, mischatzos. Harsh decrees, great troubles, come upon Yisrael, heaven forbid, and the rest of the curse. And then the Gemara carries on. What does it mean, be'chol zeis, be'ol yod in etuyo, omer chanem barabo, ha'kol yedin kala lo menif neselachupa. Everyone knows why a bride enters into the marriage chamber. Ela kol manavul piv, but whoever utters obscenities of this, afilu chos min olam zardin shel shivim shana letova, even if that person was such a good person, where it was decreed in heaven that he would have 70 years, that's a lifetime, of brocha, of good blessings, hofkin alov l'ra. This is turned to evil. Omar Abba Bashil, Omar Rav Chizda, kol amanav l'espi. Then the Gemara says further, Omar Rav Yitzchak, af shabeh v'sheshek. Not only the one who speaks such languages, But even the one who listens and doesn't speak, but if he stays and he listens, he's in that audience, he's also involved in this Aveira. In our times, there is no doubt, we're living in times when we see that Tzoris Misgabres V'Holches Ba'ilam. In the world at large, we see problems and troubles and decrees and great Tzoris. Heaven forbid, tragedies come upon the world continually. And there's no doubt that a contributing factor, according to the Chazal, is the generation that we live in has hit a new low when it comes to the this power of speech, this ability to speak, what they use their mouths for. You go out into the marketplace, and not only, it used to always be that you had plenty of people who would curse and they would have foul mouths, but in private, very private. Now, not only in private, and not only in public, but before literally millions and billions of people. Because you have now, you have your TVs, your videos, you have your media, movies, and so forth. And it's gotten so bad. There's been certain places which have tried to do things about it. But it seems that the industry is too strong. And it's gotten so bad that we find it even by women. Today, it seems acceptable that women also can speak obscenities, disgusting talk, and so on. It used to be that a woman has a tznius yisera. She was created with an additional dimension of modesty. So it used to be that you found this amongst the low-class men, not amongst the more educated, not amongst the intelligentsia, not amongst the more sophisticated, amongst the low-class men. The gutter was known as gutter speech because it was found amongst those that lived in the gutter. But now, in the highest circles of men, amongst intelligentsia, the sophisticated, high society, but amongst women also, it becomes acceptable talk amongst women. And right in the movies, and on the TV, and in the books. And to give you an idea of how far we've gone, I mentioned this many times. When I was a young boy, during the summer holiday, we used to look for jobs. And we were in school still, so we weren't qualified for professional positions, so we used to get simple jobs. I remember one time I had a job, and it was a job basically manual labor, doing things. And I was working with people who were not amongst the most educated. There's some a very, very simple class of people, and their language was the language that was befitting for that class, but still not like today. But then I remember that there was one fella. He said a few obscenities in the presence of a woman. So there was an older Gentile there who also spoke like this. But right away, he gives him a zets. He says, "You don't speak like that in front of a lady." And the guy shut up immediately. says, you don't speak like that in front of a lady. It was common amongst high society in England that when they would entertain and serve dinner, after the dinner, the women would go into another room and the men would remain at the table where they would be served their brandy. This was the common protocol. Then the men would finish their brandy and their cigars and they would join the women. I once asked someone, what is the reason for that? They said, simple. So the men could talk amongst themselves like they usually talk, men together, which they would not dare speak like that in the presence of ladies. That was the reason. Give the men a chance to talk more relaxed. But in the presence of a lady, a bum, a tramp, maybe, but nobody of any self-pride would utter one word that would be even a little obscene. The presence of a lady. Now you go open up the television, you see the lady speaking like that in front of millions and billions of people, or in a book. This is how far we've fallen. So therefore, this is Nivlas Peh. Arsugim Sochim is not speaking about that at all. It's been about words that the Torah uses. But this is what it's demanding from a Jew, that a person should always look for a word that is a beautiful word, that is a modest word, an elegant word, a clear word, loshen kovod, because that's a sign of the person. These are his fruits. These are his creations. One final word. I have a friend, very good friend, lives in the States. And his children, I knew his children when they were young, now they're married. They have children of their own. He had children that were exceptional when it came to midos tovos, when it came to good quality, good character, manners, and gentleness. See, this was always a gentleman. But when it came to that, they were extraordinary. So I once asked him, I says, how did you do it? So he gave me an answer. I don't know if this is the secret or not. The person happens to be very much like that himself too. So I don't know if this is the secret. But he certainly felt that this was the secret, or at least the contributing factor. He said he was, one thing he was always very, very strict with his children. He said the type of speech that they used. That's what he answered me. He says this he was always strict on. Other things, look, didn't bother. But the type of speech they used, bimegaret, how they spoke, and how they spoke to people, the choice of words, this he was always very strict with them. Again, I don't know if this was the secret, but he felt it was. And it's something to think about. Something to think about. At any rate, so this, coming back to the Rashi, lo yechalel dvorei, you shall not profane your words, because a word has a world in it. It has a kedusha, sanctity in it. And that is the greatest function of the human being. And therefore, with that, he can achieve worlds. Not used properly, he can destroy worlds and destroy himself in the process. So therefore, lo yechalel dvorei, be careful with your words. Not to speak, because then he's given an enormous tool and he doesn't use it. But to use it properly, like Shlema Melech, King Solomon said, that chai biyar haloshon, you can find life in the tongue. And he who loves his tongue for life, he will eat of those fruits. We should be zeicher to see Chaim, life, come from the tongues of people. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedolah hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.